This morning I lost my message. Amen. One time I was giving HMS Richards a ride from Phoenix up to the camp meeting. And he was telling me the story about how he lost his message one time. He says, Ben, it was obvious that it wasn't the message God wanted me to preach. So he said, how many of you know HMS Richards or heard about him? HMS Richards Senior? Not the junior, senior. Okay, some of you remember. The man, the one that was on the radio all the time. Anyway, he said, I was shocked. I was stunned. What would I do? I don't have my message. I lost it. Can't find it. So I said, Elder, what did you do? He said, I found it had dropped, but the wind blew it under the table. He says, I had to get on my knees to try to get my notes, and here everybody's watching me. Can I get a little drink, a bottle, please, of water this morning? He said, I had to get on my knees and turn my back and go under the chair and the table, try to get hold of my notes. He says, can you imagine how ridiculous this was? Here's my back and my panty toward the audience. Here's HMS Richard trying to get hold of his notes, and the wind blew it. He says, what would God have to do to let me know that's not the message he wanted me to preach? Well, I had a message prepared. Can you believe it? After 50 years of preaching, I lost that message. Of course, HMS Rich has been laid to rest for many years now. Someday I'm going to tell him what happened to me too, after I retire. So I said, Lord, what do you want me to do? He gave me 3-4 texts. You can't improve on God's word. You can't. Someone has said, be kind. Thank you, pal. Be kind, because everyone you meet is fighting a hard battle. The devil makes sure of that. And some of the looks of the faces here this Sabbath morning, I can tell you've been fighting a hard battle. I want you to know the Lord loves you. He just took the other sermon and gave me this sermon for you. Be kind. Everyone you meet is fighting a hard battle. Especially when they come to church. Jesus is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He doesn't want you to get discouraged. So before you say anything to anybody, ask yourself 3 questions. Is it kind? If it's not kind, don't say it. Amen? Amen. Is it true? What you're saying about that person, is it true? If it's not true, don't say it, because what you're doing is wrong. You're telling something that is not true. It's a lie. The third one is it really necessary? Is it necessary? Is it kind? Is it true? Is it necessary? Can you just put it off? Just leave it in the Lord's hand and let Him work all things together for good. Amen? To them that love the Lord. So this morning, I'm going to read to you those verses. I wish Richards were here today. So he said, I said, well, what did you do? What did you preach? He didn't remember what he had preached, but he says, the Lord gave me a message, and someone was there in that audience who needed to hear that. And it turned from darkness to light to that couple. By the way, I'm still praying for those prayer requests you turned in. Thank you, Jesus. We don't have to stop praying. It's a privilege to pray, isn't it? Talking to the God of the universe. We can always come boldly to the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy, find grace to help in time of need. Very present help and need. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be removed. Now, people would fear even something happens at home. But the earth can be removed. You can still trust the Lord. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. He will direct your path. So this, I went over it, by the way, every day since I met you last. I've been praying for those prayer requests. Has He answered some of those prayers? How many of you feel the Lord has answered some of your prayers? I see, oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. He's a prayer-hearing, prayer-answering God. In fact, He's so interested in answering our prayers, even before you call, I will answer. Before what? Before you call, I will answer. How desirous is He to answer your prayer? Before you call, He will answer. Lord, I haven't said it yet. Yeah, but I knew you were going to say it, so I'm going to answer. While you're yet speaking, I will hear. So I asked the Lord, what would you want me to say, Lord? I only have a few minutes here. I lost my notes. I'm sure I'll find them, but not now. Because somebody's here to hear what I'm about to say. And so these thoughts began to come to my mind. This morning as I was kneeling before all those prayer requests that you turned in last time, one of those prayer requests said this: please pray that Jesus will be active in our church. By the way, that person is here. I saw them this morning. Active in our church. Another person said that our church members will connect with each other better. That's a sweet way of putting it. If there's any one thing the devil would like to do to hurt God's work, is to bring division and disconnection. You know why? If you can do that, guess what? The church cannot be blessed. No matter how many songs we sing, no matter how many amens we say, if we don't dwell together in unity, what? So let's turn to Psalms 133. Psalms 133. By the way, and I want you to know, this is a loving church. I love this church. In fact, it reminds me quite a bit of the church. I was pastor until a few months ago. They have a new pastor, a young pastor that I had trained before. It's called Arizona Evangelism Center, Litchfield Park. How many of you have ever been to Arizona Evangelism Center, Litchfield Park? At Litchfield Park? Oh, yes, there's some hands here, one hand. This morning, someone is preaching there that attended evangelistic meeting, I'm going to talk to you more about, who had never prayed before publicly, who had never preached a sermon before. He's a medical technician a good one, but now he's a good preacher. He's the head elder there. I had the joy of baptizing him, who attended our evangelistic meetings. That church was planted 9 years ago and is about the size of this church now. Can we say amen to that? There would have been no church there had the Lord, if he hadn't called us. He knew these people had just moved from Chicago. I'm just giving you one example. They don't understand why they moved to Phoenix. By the way, she's also a technician. But then Elder McKee asked me, he said, Ben, would you like to go and do a church plant in Phoenix, in Litchfield Park? I said, sure. Give me a budget, we'll go to town. We don't have anybody, it was just Lila and me, my wife and I, and the Lord. If you have the Lord, you have everything. Amen. Everything you need. And so the evangelist, and then this morning, this man who never prayed, now as an elder, a good one for the Lord, preaching God's word. His wife is our treasurer there, Therese Garcia. Maybe some of you know Juan and Therese Garcia. We had the joy of baptizing them, baptizing their children, dedicating their grandchild. You think the Lord had them in mind? You think there are people like that in Litchfield Park? People like that in Queen Creek? I can hardly wait to meet them. I can hardly wait. I was going to show you a video of Juan preaching. Just a few seconds of that. Standing before that audience, that good-sized church, and preaching God's word. A man who never prayed before publicly. And there are many more like that there. And so just before I left, I said, watch out. The devil is jealous that we have the church here. He's going to stick his nose and try to cause division. Division. If there's any one thing, that's what's going to do to diffuse God's work, ministry in that. So you need to really watch out. It's the work of the devil. If he can do that, the church has transferred from a living service, a living worship for God, a living praise, into a club. Into a club. No longer a life-saving station, it is now a club. Once he does that, and I've been to churches, now I won't say where, in another conference, where you could ski right in the middle. And I told the pastor, there's no way I'm going to hold meetings here. Forget it, man. We've got to bring these people together, amen? Why is that too important? Psalms 133. Psalms 133. And this was the text the Lord gave me, 133. What does it say? How what? How good, behold, how good and how pleasant it is what? For brethren to do what? Dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that runs down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, as the dew of Hermon, as the dew that descended upon the mountain of Zion. There, in the context of that unity, God commands his blessing. Even life forevermore. Where does God command his blessing? Not on Mount Zion, but where people dwell together in unity and love. Amen? Why would he bless disunity? He can never bless disunity. So let's pray for unity always and love. Amen? Another request on those cards was about that we would have more love for Jesus. More love for Jesus. We're told that the greatest argument in favor of truth is a loving and a lovable disciple. If we would just humble ourselves, volume 9, page 189, volume 9, page 180, if we would humble ourselves before God and be kind and courteous and tenderhearted and pitiful, there would be 100 conversions to the truth, where now there is what? Only one. So what does that tell about evangelism in love and kindness? Though I speak in the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, what does it say? I'm become a sounding brass of a tinkling cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy, understand all mysteries and all knowledge, I can have knowledge that's coming out of my brain. But if I don't have love, what does it say? I am nothing. A useless. Though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. And that's what we need. A loving and a lovable spirit. Amen? Did you know that 1/5 of United States adults, including 1/3 of adults under the age of 30 years, identify themselves as religiously unaffiliated? 1/3 in the United States of America. The highest ever recorded. Unbelievable. They call them nuns. None. 1/3. The world is sleeping in darkness, and the church in the light. We need to serve the Lord more fervently. Amen. One man came late to the church. The church was going out. He says, "The church service over." He says, "No, only worship is over. Service has just begun. Service has just begun." Keepers of the aquarium or the fishers of men? This is a life-saving station. Shipwrecks are all over. We need to be vigilant to rescue the perishing. We're not just here to come and play church. We worship, but then we go out service. This is not church service. It's a worship. Service begins when we say goodbye. Keeping in tune with Jesus keeps harmony in the church. If God be for us, who can be against us? That's the good news we need to take away home. God is for you. Who can be against you? He who would not spare his son will not withhold any good thing from you. You say, "Pastor, but if you're talking to me about witnessing, you know, I don't have that gift." By the way, do you know what your spiritual gift is? How many of you know what your spiritual gift is? Okay, very good. Yeah. We have a seminar we conduct to help you find what your spiritual gift is. Everybody has spiritual gifts. More than one. Do you know what yours is? You know how to develop that and use it for Jesus? You know, I've seen people who are doing things that they shouldn't be doing. I've seen pastors who shouldn't be pastors. We should be somewhere else. You know something? I can do anything else but pastoring and evangelism. That's all I know. Never would have thought I'd ever do it, ever make it. The Lord has a spiritual gift for you. And you better find out what it is and develop it for Jesus. Amen? That God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and power and of a sound mind. So we need to encourage you. Open your heart to the Lord. And He will open our eyes to the lost people. Lost people. God can save anyone, anywhere, at any time. God can save anyone. He can save the thief on the cross. Amen? God can save anywhere, anybody, anywhere. Even on the cross, He can save people anytime. At the 11th hour, He can save people. Is anything too difficult for Him? Nothing. Nothing. So our prayer should be, O Lord, give me Thy love for souls, for lost and wandering sheep, that I may see the multitude and weep as Thou didst weep. Saw the multitude, He was full of compassion. The Bible says He wept. He wept. I want you to turn to Matthew now. The next text the Lord just gave me, quick. Matthew chapter 4, verse 16. That was really the theme of my topic. Matthew chapter 4, verse 16. The people which sat in darkness, what did they see? Saw great light. And to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light has sprung up. The people of this community, the people of Queen Creek, need to see the great light. Amen? I'm probably one of the oldest pastors here in this conference. I've served under 5 presidents. Every time I would drive by Queen Creek, I would have something in my heart. Something would hit me. Why don't we have a church in Queen Creek? God has people everywhere on the verge of the kingdom waiting to be gathered in. Amen? When I talked, when Pastor Shane talked to me, he says, Pastor George, would you please help me? I'm trying to start a church in Queen Creek. I said, you know, I've retired. I said that smiling. I said, I'm so glad. I understand he goes there every other week, something like that. He goes there and meets with the people. How many people we have here from Queen Creek? Queen Creek people! Where else? Anybody else? Queen Creek. Oh, okay. There's another one over there. I want to meet with all of you this after the service. I want to, with 3 of you or 4 of you here. I really truly believe the Lord has His hand upon Queen Creek. He wants the message to be preached to those people. The 3 angels' messages. Saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven. He's coming to them. Fear God, give Him glory. The hour of His judgment has come. Worship Him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the fountains, the water. Babylon has fallen. That great city, she makes all nations do what? Drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. If any man worship the beast in his image, receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same will drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of resignation. Here's the patience of the saints. Here are they that, what? Keep the commandments of God, and what else? The faith of Jesus. Then he said, I look and behold a white cloud. Upon the cloud, one sat like the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, in his hand a sharp sickle. Who's that? Jesus coming. It's harvest time. The end of the world. The three angels' messages need to be heard by that town we call Queen Creek. I keep making the mistake calling it Clear Creek or something like that. But it's Queen. God has kings and queens in there. And I'd go by that city for years. Why don't we have a church here? And when I talked to Ed Keith, some of you know he's the man in charge of evangelism conference. He says, Ben, I always wanted to see a church in there. I said, well, Pastor Shane has just talked to me. He wants help. He says, I'm retired. If you recommend it, he says, I'll give you a budget. He said, here's a budget. He was so quick. I said, this is another answer. Another way of God telling us he wants a church. He wants the light of the truth out there. He was so excited. He said, I always wanted to see a church out there. But somehow we missed it. It's too late to miss anybody now. Time is running out, folks. The end of all things is at hand. And they need to hear. They're living in darkness, and we're living in the light. We're sleeping. It's time. So how would you like to be a mother to a church in Queen Creek? How would you like to plant a church there? Give your support. When we have these evangelistic meetings, we have about 40,000 handbills being printed. You're going to be receiving a handbill. We're going to be, each one of you will probably have about 30, 40, 50 handbills to invite your friend. You never know. When people hear the truth, the truth will set them free. Free. Imagine them coming out of darkness to this wonderful light. People like Juan Garcia, Therese Garcia, and other people who are there. How good, how pleasant. People to dwell together in unity. There, God commands his blessing. Notice, it says here that Jesus comes in verse 19. He said unto these people who were casting their nets, follow me, and I will do what? Make you fishers of men. You're done with fishing fish. I'm going to make you fishers of men. And notice, and they straightway. Now, he didn't say, follow me, and you can make something out of yourself. What did he say? I will make you fishers of men. If Jesus hadn't made me fish, I would never be here today. I will make you fishers of men. First of all, you have to follow Jesus. That's one qualification. You know, everybody is following somebody. The question is, who is it that you're following fully? Looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Looking to Jesus, we are safe. Looking anywhere else, we're going to sink. There's no hope. Okay? So he said, but Pastor, you don't know, I don't have a lot of time. I work hard, I work all day. My family are working, my children going to school. We don't have time for for being fishers of men. You know, I don't care where you work. You're working to meet expenses, but your work is for God. You are working for God. That's what William Carey said, the great missionary to India. How many have ever heard about William Carey? The great missionary who started modern missions overseas. When they said, what do you do for a living? He says, well, I cobble shoes to meet expenses. But my work is for God. I work for God. Every single one of you, no matter what you do, even, you know, I'm a housewife, and a husband, I work. Yes, you do those things to meet your daily need, but you work for God. Don't ever lose your sense of mission. Amen? You are working for God. I don't care where you are. Follow me. Not to make you rich, popular. Follow me, and I will make you what? Fishers of men. We who are fish swimming in the sea of sin. Here comes the great fisher. He cast the gospel net and he caught me. Thank you, Jesus. He caught me. And he's made me fishers of men. He can do the same thing with anybody. I really believe that. I really believe that. And someday in heaven, Juan Garcia and Therese will walk up to me and say, if it hadn't been for you, I wouldn't be here today. I wouldn't be here today. Someone will walk up to you and say, if it hadn't been for you, I wouldn't be here today. I went to Loma Linda University. I held a crusade out there. And here comes this gentleman with his big, thick Bible. His name is Zeki Hanawi. He's a Syrian, Aramaic. I said, Zeki, you still have your old Bible? He said, yes. That was the Bible he used to give me Bible studies. He said, are you still in the church? I said, yes. He said, what do? I said, I'm an evangelist. He didn't know that at all. You're an evangelist? He never thought that could ever happen. Anyone? He didn't think anybody. But there was a possibility Jesus could change my life. He could change my life. He said, you're serving the Lord? I said, yes. He said, in fact, I'm going to have meetings here. And I looked him straight in the face. That's the last time I saw him. He's laid to rest now. I said, if it hadn't been for you, Zeki, I wouldn't be here, man. You give me Bible studies. If it hadn't been for you. If it hadn't been for Jesus, none of us would be here now. Amen? But he doesn't want us to keep that knowledge to ourselves. Go and make disciples of all nations. Disciples are not born. Someone has to make the disciples. They're not born. They're made. Go and make disciples. Disciplined students of the Word of God. It's a disciple. Oh, give me, Lord, thy love for souls, for lost and wandering sheep, that I may see the multitudes and weep as thou didst weep. Open my eyes, that I may behold wondrous things and share. I want us to, this morning, perhaps take a look at the cards. Maybe we can pass those cards around, gentlemen. You know, one thing to prevent us from being Laodicean, and praise God, I don't believe this church is not Laodicean. I just love this church. Like I say, if you were to go to Litchfield Park, I think you'd find a church similar to this. You know, they still have their first love for Jesus. I hope you never lose your love for Jesus here. First love. But to keep that life alive, you must share that love with other people. And here you have the opportunity to do a church plant in Queen Creek. Would you like that? A church plant. It's a joy. It's a privilege. I tell you. People have never seen before. 40,000 handbills are passed. They're going to be mailed to all these people. We're going to meet in the library of Queen Creek. There's a hall there where people come. I want to tell you one thing. In these days, it's not easy to get people out to come to the meetings, right? It's like pulling teeth. Any evangelist can tell you that. Right, brother? For every 1,000 invitation, we get 1 or 2 people that will come. Can you imagine? 1,000 invitation, 1 or 2. But if you invite somebody, we get 1 for every 10 people you ask. You see, the personal touch is so critical. You inviting people personally, get 1 out of 10. So we're going to give you, each one of you, when we get the handbills, 50 handbills to invite your friends. 50. And these cards telling Lila and me that Lila is my wife. When we went to Litchfield, we had nobody. We had no church there. None whatsoever. Lila and me and a couple other people that came from Glendale, other places. They joined us. What can we do? Now, here's some of the things we can do to team up together to accommodate the people that come. Notice it says, by His grace, I want to support the evangelistic seminar in Queen Creek. That starts February 8th, and those are the days, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Wednesday. 7 p.m., Queen Creek Library. So what can you do? How can we become a team together here? Okay? Without your help, I can't do it. No way. I need your help, and you're going to help the Lord's work in planting a church in Queen Creek. You're going to be the mother to a precious daughter out there. It said, by my prayers and attendance. You know, folks, attendance is so critical. Because when these visitors come and they see a hall, one third or half full, guess what? They're going to get discouraged. This must not be important. Your presence is most critical. Please, in the name of our wonderful Savior, come and support the meeting by your sweet presence and by your prayers. That is very important. You're showing those people, this is so important. This can bring you salvation. This can get you ready for Jesus, who's coming soon. You need to hear these messages, okay? So you can help us big time by just your attendance and your prayers, by bringing a visitor to the meeting. I'd like to say, you can use 10 handbills, you'll get 1 coming. 10. A relative, a friend. How many of you think that you have people you could invite? Can I see your hand? Oh, wonderful. Look at that. Look, I'd love to see more hands. Come on, let's raise your hand. By the grace of, you're going to bring somebody? Amen, amen. Please do that. For every 10 you ask, remember, 1 will come. By contributing to seminar expenses, hall rental, advertising, Bibles, etc. Okay? And we give each one a Bible. They're all numbered, page the same way. Some of them can't find the text, I give them a page number, and they have the text. I use the same Bible they do. And we have a PowerPoint presentation. And by the time the meetings are over, they've heard the whole message, everything. They'll never be the same again, just like Juan Garcia and Therese and others. They will never be the same. By the way, another elder who is at Litchfield is also attended, was baptized. Head deacon was baptized. many other families came and were baptized. Deacons, deaconesses, and leadership. One lady, B, the superintendent, she attended our first evangelistic meeting. That was many years ago. She's still firm and a beautiful leader in the church there. Okay, by giving out invitation, friends and neighbors, by helping with child care. That is, so if people come, you know, children need help. And we always have a corner for children. Amen? Yeah, if you can help, and help Lila, because she can't do it all by herself. She needs your help. We'd sure appreciate it if you help in that area. By assisting with greeting, ushering, and technical equipment. Please, if you have technical ability, help us. We need your help there. Okay? Big time. Mic system and all that, everything else, the computers. So, prayerfully fill this out. We need to take this with us to know what we can count on this church. Give us a shot in the arm this morning that God is going to use you to help us, to work with us. Okay? So, write your name down. What should you do? And if God wants you to do something else, something more, fine. But let us know, let the Lord know what you can do to be part of the team. Would you be a team with us? You see, we're coming all the way from West, Litchfield, El Mirage. That's a long ways out there. But the Lord really has a plan. He has a something very concrete to help those precious people in Queen Creek. They're on the verge of the kingdom. They need help. So, if Jesus came all the way from heaven to save us here, and he's coming again, what do you think he wants us to do? Yes. Please, put that down here. And put your name down and your phone number so that we can be in touch and organize our team here, who's going to be there, who's going to help, in what areas. Can you do that? Just take a minute, and then I'd like to have your cards passed to the center aisle, and the ushers will collect those. Can we do that right now? Don't let us sleep. Don't let us sleep in the light. When other people are sleeping in darkness, God has been so good to us. God has so blessed us. And